Thank you, Tyler. Thank you guys, man. Thanks for being here this morning. Yeah, looking beautiful, looking refreshed. And looks like y'all had a great weekend. I did when Travis texted me last night and said, looks like you won, man. I could sense the sarcasm and nah, I'm just kidding. Travis is a good guy, man. But I won the March Madness tournament. Me and Tyler and Travis had a little thing going on with some brackets, man. And it worked out last night for me to take the lead. So they're buying tacos and queso and all some other kind of goodies for me. Yay. But, man, it's good to be in the winner's bracket, right? It's good to be in the winner's circle. Man, we don't always win. I don't always win all the time. Trust me, when it comes to raffles and giveaways and stuff like that, my name never gets picked. Does anybody else feel like that? You sign up, you got like 12 tickets in the basket, and somebody put one in win. You're like, bro, I had 12 in there. Why did I win? Sometimes we lose, though. I mean, that's the reality of life. We can't win everything, right? It can't always be peaches and cream. It can't always be blessed life, blessed life, blessed life. Abundance, 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 victory, victory. I mean, I took some losses in the tournament bracket. I didn't pick all the right teams. Some of the teams I picked got blew out. Duke, if anybody followed, Duke lost. Everybody thought they were going to go to the Final Four and win everything, and they got beat. You know, Baylor got beat. I picked Baylor to kind of go in a little bit, and they lost. So I took some L's within the victory. Y'all probably already know where I'm going with this. I don't even need to preach. I'm just going to go home. You know what I mean? But the reality of life is that we're going to lose sometimes. Sometimes we're going to face some things that hurt, that don't feel good, that are painful, that are nagging, that are frustrate us. It makes us feel like we're in a dark place. It makes us feel like we're not winning at life. Afflictions, pain, suffering, sorrow, depression, addictions. I mean, all kinds of things that we face. And the reality of it is that even though you may be saved today, and some of you may not be, but you may have a relationship with God, everything ain't all good. Sometimes it actually gets worse before it gets better. And I want to talk to you today about thorns and roses. Somebody say thorns and roses. Thorns and roses, man. Here's the paradox that we live in as believers and followers of Jesus and believers in Father God that has rescued us and redeemed us. Listen, the paradox that we face is that when we are weak and broken in and of ourselves, that's when we're actually strong in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's when we are vulnerable, transparent, wounded, and bleeding physically, mentally, spiritually, that's when we're actually most qualified to receive the power of God being activated and stirred up in our life. It's not when our pockets are overflowing with cash and all that kind of stuff that we're actually in the best position to receive grace and power from God. It's when we're broken, when we're sick, when we're wounded, when we're hurt, when we're in a place where we have nowhere to go or lean on or depend on except for Christ's power and the cross and the blood of Christ. But here's the problem with that. Does anybody want that? You know what I mean? Like, who wants the pain? Bring the pain on. Bring the sickness. Bring on the cancer. I think Pastor Joe said that last week. Bring on the cancer. I love it. No, we don't want that. We don't want the ugliness of life. We just want the beauty most of the times. We don't want the thorns on our roses. Now, women in the room, if your husband brought you some roses with a thorn, are you going to immediately just come and grab your hands around it? Yes, thank you, baby. Dozen roses of pain. No. And if you're driving down the road or you're walking in the park and you see a bush of roses that has thorns on it, you're not just going to run in and stick your hand in and grab one off. It's because those thorns actually have a purpose. It's kind of somewhat of a protector of the rose to a certain extent because you can't just violently pluck up a rose. It's kind of guarded by the thorns. And so if you put your mind, wrap your mind around a perspective of pains and sufferings in your life, it may actually be a good thing or a blessing to us, depending on how we view it. And I want to talk to you today from 2 Corinthians, starting chapter 12, verse 7. I'm going to give you some context behind it because Apostle Paul is actually writing to one of the churches that he established. And in 1 Corinthians, he had established a church, and the church was kind of going haywire. Hey, yo, if you're looking, this is a disclaimer, if you're looking for a perfect church, I'm sorry, guys, if you're church hopping, you're not going to find a perfect church. So give up your search on the perfect church and find what's the fit for you. But Paul established some churches, and there were some things going on, so a lot of confusion, lots of sin, lots of discord, lots of false teaching going on. And so he starts addressing these things, and it comes up that his his ministry was starting to be questioned. And so Paul had to start kind of defending himself and putting some correction on the churches he established. That's around chapter 10 through 11 when he starts doing that. And he starts kind of defending his ministry and defending, hey, I'm a kingdom man. God called me. God has gave me revelation, great revelation on things. And I've established this. And I once was this man, which we know Paul was actually a Christian killer at one point until Jesus came up and smacked him off his horse, set him on his bottom, man, and really showed him what life was about. And he was radically transformed. And so he has to start validating his ministry again. And he starts talking about all the great things that he'd done. But then he starts talking about the favor of God was resting on his life, but pains and sufferings came with it, and it came with it to bring some humility in his life. So I'm going to start here, chapter 12, verse 7, which says, so to keep me from becoming conceited, somebody say conceited, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations which God gave him, a thorn was given me, say given me. I would say given to me, but Paul's a different writer than me. In the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me. Say harass. To keep me from becoming conceited. See, he actually says that a pain or a thorn was given to him. And he said this twice, to keep him from becoming conceited. Now, I like contrasting texts and versions with a different version. So I like the Message version. I don't know if anybody reads the Message version. But the Message version says this. So I wouldn't get a big head. Somebody say big head. I was given the gift of a handicap to keep me in constant touch with my limitations. Say my limitations. Satan's angels did his best to get me down. What he did, in fact, was push me to my knees. No danger then of me walking around high and mighty. Can you imagine a loving God who gave everything for us? By sending his one and only son to be sacrificed on the cross for our sins and be forgiven, and this illustrious love story, that he would come right around and say, now I'm going to handicap you, Tyler, because I love you. Now I'm going to take some of your money away because I love you. You know, now I'm gonna have you born with this affliction because I love you. I'm going to allow Satan or in his demonic influences to whisper in your ear and create situations and convictions and turmoil and discord. I'm going to allow him to do that, Nick, because I love you. Does that even make sense? Why would a loving God do that, right? Because he loves us. He loves us. My first point is this. We have to recognize that the troubles and the thorns that we have in our life are actually allowed and given out of God's love and not his anger. Sometimes we hear the world talk about, man, if this God is so good, then why is all the evil going on in the world? Why is all this mess going on? If God really loves you, bro, why are you struggling? Sometimes we don't have an answer for that, right? But you will receive an answer today. God will allow us a fair share of troubles and struggles to deal with our inner workings, the inner workings of our heart and our mind. And most of the times, it's not comfortable. See, if you're like me, then you struggle with pride. If you're like me, then you struggle with wanting to control situations. If you're like me, you feel like if you've accomplished a few things in your life that you kind of got it together. Maybe you made it. You made your way. You're self-made. You kind of got it going on. Anybody else, or am I on an island by myself right now? I'll be on an island. It's fine. You know what I mean? Pride of life will eat us up. Arrogance will kill us. When we start feeling like we got this thing under control, you're in a bad place. And because God loves us so much, he don't want us to get in a bad place, so he set some thorns in place for us to get nicked, cut, bruised here and there, so that it humbles us and creates an atmosphere for us to have to lean on him and his strength, not our own. Because we tend to get ourselves in trouble when we start taking on life by ourselves. Do y'all agree? And here's the thing, too. Pride may not be the only thing that we struggle with. Some of us have addictions, sicknesses, mental health issues, depression. Some of us may be experiencing persecution just because of our faith. And it may not be that somebody's out to kill you, but maybe you didn't get the job because of your integrity. Maybe you didn't get the promotion because of your morals. Maybe you didn't get the job because you said, hey, I can't work on Sundays. And they just skip you because you holding fast here. That's a form of persecution. That's a form of affliction, because maybe that money, you needed that money so you can put your family in a better position. But God said, no, not right now. And so this continuous cycle of issues, troubles, I can go back starting at the beginning of this year and see some consistent struggles that I've been having that God has not taken away. And I'm sure y'all can do the same. If you look back, start of the year up to now, what we 3-4 months in, there's probably been some consistent things y'all been facing. Y'all like, God, why you ain't moved on this yet? Why you haven't healed this yet? Why haven't you made a way for this yet? Guys, it's a thorn to us. Paul is kind of saying the same thing. Paul had plenty to boast about, plenty to brag about. His pride was just on 10. He had an amazing heritage of a family that was Jewish. He had a strenuous knowledge and background of Jewish law. He was considered like the top reference of what it means to be close to God, basically. So he had a lot to brag about. He's established a lot of churches. He had an amazing testimony, man. Did you know you can have pride in your testimony? You can take pride in how bad you were and how, like, I was the hardest man. I drunk with the best of them. I did the drugs with the best of them. And you can sometimes take pride in that, and it can elevate yourself to make you feel like, oh, well, I have more love and grace from God than you. Those things are sneaky, guys. And God knows what we can handle and what we can't handle. And here Paul is struggling and being afflicted by God, and God had to do this to protect him from his own pride, taking him out. And you know why I feel like God did that? It's because he knew that Paul needed to write the rest of the books in the Bible for us to have. And if God didn't afflict him, if God didn't send a check, which is a whisper saying, hey, you remember you was a Christian killer? You remember them babies you killed? You remember all the people that you condemned? You remember all the churches that you destroyed? Did you remember that? Don't get high and mighty now. Remember where you came from. And because of that, you need to humble yourself. Now you got these issues. And we don't know what his thorn is. The Bible doesn't say exactly what it was, but we know that God afflicted him, because if his pride got in the way, then the rest of those books probably wouldn't be written, because his pride would have took him somewhere else. Where would we be if God didn't put limits on our lives and put checks in our lives? Where would you be? Where would I be? There's purpose in it. God designed this way of dealing with us for good. The messenger of Satan and the thorn would hinder Sister Paul, but it was actually going to help him be greater later on down the line. And see, Jesus and the Bible, which is beautiful, the Bible has every answer to life. I don't know why we don't read it more often, right? Like, what is it with us that we just don't want to read the Bible? Like, find a way to make reading the Bible fun, even if it's a different translation that's accurate. Don't go wild with reading all kind of crazy stuff. But if we read through the Bible all the while, Jesus and Father God and the Holy Ghost is telling us, bro, you're going to have some troubles. You're going to have some pains. You're going to have some situations. Don't get discouraged. Don't give up. In John 16:33, Jesus says, and this is red letters, so you know Jesus said it, right? It says, in the world you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. So right there we should know that, man, I'm going to get sick at some point. Man, I ain't going to have enough money at some point. Man, I'm going to do this. Something's going to happen. Divorce, the marriage not going to work sometimes. There's going to be issues, right? It shouldn't catch us off guard. It shouldn't make us start complaining, but we should already know that it's not going to always be peaches and cream. Even James, Jesus' brother, which is a funny thing because James grew up with Jesus and didn't even believe in him. That was his brother in his own house. He didn't even believe in Christ. So don't feel bad if you didn't fully believe in Christ. He was right there with him. James' brother says, count it joy when you meet trials of various kinds. We have constant reminders that trouble and thorns will come and be a part of our life, man. And I'll be honest with you, I'm going to share a couple of my thorns that I recognized growing up, because if you look back, I guarantee you, if you take a step back and look at your life from beginning to end, you'll see some consistent thorns in your life that you can say, God set that up because he was dealing with this area in my life, right? So obviously, I'm short like Pastor Joe, right? So let's just get that out the way. I don't have no boots on. I got regular shoes on. I'm like 5'6", you know what I mean? And for me growing up, I hated that. I wanted to be 6 foot. Why couldn't God create me to be 6 feet so that I can be tall and feel macho and feel more confident on the football field and confident on basketball court and confident with the ladies? I'm the short, skinny dude walking around. So I'm pretty sure God knew that if I was 6 feet, that I'll be just this cocky, arrogant jock dude that would probably destroy my life. And so for humility reasons, he said, Brock, I'm going to make you 5'6". It's perfect for you, you know what I mean? So, you know, my wife tells me this all the time. Baby, you handsome. You're a handsome guy. Well, before I met Dominique, I thought I was pretty handsome myself already. You know, she just confirmed it, you know. But I grew up in school thinking that I was the fly guy, that I was, the man, you know what I mean? Like, I looked pretty good and this and that. And so I had confidence in my outer appearance besides my height and skinniness. God said, well, I'm going to put a check on that, Brock. So, number one, I'm going to make you skinny so you're not confident in your chicken legs that you have. But two, I'm going to make you half blind. So y'all don't know it now because I got contacts in. But I used to have to wear these huge glasses like this, like binoculars on my face, bro. And I'm walking around, looking around, people looking at me crazy. Like, dang, your glasses big, bro. Dang, the lens is like this thick. And so, like, the embarrassment of having to put those glasses on and wear them, and you taking school photos and all this kind of stuff. The girl, you're not cool when you're wearing fat glasses, man. You can't play sports good because your glasses falling off, and you gotta wear goggles. You know what I mean? Like, my mom bought me these horrible goggles. You know the Horace Grant, the Horace Grant goggles. And I never wore them. She said, "Boy, you made me waste that money buying them goggles." I said, "Man, I'm not cool wearing that." You see the checks and balances, God? Those were thorns to me as a kid. What about you? Can you look back and see some things? You're like, man, come on, God, really? As a man now, married, you know, with my wife for 10 years, going on 11 years, and you know, we have three children, one in heaven, so actually four, but three with us, beautiful children. As a man, God put checks on my finances, and we, you know, for the most part, we live paycheck to paycheck. You know what I mean? Like we trust in God, bro. Like, this ain't no, oh, yeah, we got $4,000, $5,000, $10,000 in the savings account, this and that, and then God's asking you to leave your job. You're like, sure, God, yeah, we got 5 months of rent stored up. Sure. No. God asked me to leave my job, and we didn't have nothing. Day-to-day struggle of, Lord, I don't have the abundance of finance to brag about all the material things I got and how much I'm paying my bill and how blessed I am. My money is just, and we have to steward our money well. God put a check on my finance probably because he knew that if I didn't have this struggle of finance, I probably wouldn't be crying out to him as much, saying, Lord, make a way. Lord, show me how to make a way. Show me how to invest my money. Show me how to bless people and sow and be a faithful tither and faithful steward. He put thorns in my life, sufferings in my life, to buffer me. I got one more I want to share with you. So God called me to ministry, like 2010, 2012, 2011, somewhere around in there, right? And so music is a part of my ministry. I didn't know I was going to be doing that. Our nonprofit organization is part of our ministry, me and my wife do. I didn't know anything about that. And God launched me out on this amazing adventure, right? So I started doing music and rap concerts and stuff like that, just sharing my life through music. And one of the first concerts I did was in Rockwall, Texas. It was a jazz concert. And so I'm super excited about it. It's a big lawn area. Everybody's out there kicking and having a good time. I'm sound checking, and I'm like, within myself, I'm like, yeah, I'm the man, I do this amazing music, and I'm the rapper, dude, and everybody's going to be amazed when they hear this sound, because all these other people just playing their little saxophones and stuff, but I'm going to go up there and just do my thing, right? So right when it's time for me to do my set, I go back here, and I go back to pick up something, right, and I had some cargo shorts on. So I bend down, I had a little slight sag, you know how our young adult, how we do, a little slight sag, I bend over, and then so from the rear end down, split wide open, right? So I'm like, wait a minute, I'm finna have to perform. My shorts are like torn and like all my boxers and my bottoms all out. Like, I can't turn around. I have to just gotta stay. And there was a drummer on the back. And he wasn't part of my like crew. I was just performing solo. He's back there. I'm like, dawg, you finna get a full moon, this whole set. Looking at my butt. So I couldn't confidently, you remember how I said I was confident and ready to rock, and I'm going to do it. And then all of a sudden my pants split. Now I got to perform just straight like. And I can't turn around because I'm going to be. And I look back, I said, God, you've been preventing pride and arrogance. And you've been creating humility in me, even though these things don't feel good, what's happening to me. And there's many other stories I said. But those thorns in my side created a sense of humility that, God, I can't do this stuff alone. There's a desperate need for me to have you. And it's not because you hate me, God. It's because you actually love me that you're causing these things to happen so that I can recognize your love for me. My second point is this. During tough times, uncomfortable times, we have to trust that God knows best, y'all. We can't sit here and war within ourselves like, man, does God want me to live miserably because he created me this way? Or because I'm not talented or gifted in this area, or because I'm struggling with this disease, or I'm struggling with this addiction, or my marriage is struggling this way, or my health is failing this way, or my money is whacked this way, and these constant things just keep happening, and God's not moving in it. God, do you want me to live miserably? That's not what it is. God, do you love me and know best for me? Yeah, that's what it is. We all fight through this question. Paul did the same thing. Paul was wondering, what is this all about? Take this away from me. I don't want to deal with this affliction. I don't want to deal with these reminders of who I am. Lord, take this away. This is the decision that most times dictates whether or not a person accepts God for who he is or not. Most of the times, the decision of does God love me or does he want me to just live miserably and that's why he causes me to have these issues is the deciding factor of whether or not we or somebody else outside of a relationship with God moves forward in faith or backtracks. And it's all the perspective of God loves me, which is why I deal with these circumstances and situations. Trials, sufferings, troubles, conflict. God uses these things to work out a believer's faith. How else would you work out your faith if everything was cookies and cream, ice cream, cotton candy, and worship songs all the time? Would you have reason to start exercising faith if everything was on a silver platter for you? If God healed the sickness every time? If God paid the bills every time, if God gave the promotion every time, if God had everything perfect, would there be a reason for you to come to the altar? Would there be a reason to cry out to God? Probably not, because there's nothing there that's afflicting you to make you cultivate that prayer life or that worship life or that crying out life. Speaking of crying out, 2 Corinthians 12 and 8 says, Paul says, 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this. Please leave, take this from me. I'm pleading that you should take it away and that it should leave me because I don't want this in my life. 3 times. Everybody say 3 times. 3 times. The Message version says this. At first, I didn't think of it as a gift. Speaking of the thorn. And I begged God to remove it. 3 times I did that. I came to God knocking. Man, take this away, Lord, please. I don't like this. This doesn't feel good. It's uncomfortable. I'm supposed to be doing ministry and be healthy, and you still... sending the condemnation and sending the affliction and sending the struggles. Have you ever noticed that it's when we're struggling that we at church the most? Have you ever noticed that when we're going through some tough times, that's when we're on the phone calling people, man, can you pray for me, man? Hey, man, can you agree with me, man? I'm going through. It's because the pain and the thorns of life is what draws us to God, and he knows it. And so he says, in order for me to get closer to you, I'm going to have to allow some things to happen in your life because that's going to draw you closer. That's the cultivating agent for a life with God. If we view it as God hates us and he's just whipping our butt, then we're going to run. But that's actually not what God's doing. God said, hey, child, I'm allowing these things to happen so you can learn and so you can grow with me so that I can empower you and equip you to overcome anything that you face in your life. And he's telling Paul that, Paul, you have such a great future. I have to prevent this pride from rising up in you because if I don't, it's going to destroy your future and purpose. So I'm not taking it away. God will let us dig a hole for ourselves sometimes too. He'll let us make mistakes and go jump off the cliff or make bonehead decisions and stuff to dig a hole so that we can realize that we don't have it all together and we don't have it all figured out so that we can come back saying, all right, hey, I'm sorry. I messed up. I forget. You know better. And he said, now I can help you. Notice that Paul didn't give up in his prayer. And when he didn't get an answer, he kept on knocking on God's heart. Y'all, don't stop praying. Just because you didn't hear God the first time, don't stop. Don't stop coming at him. Just because he didn't move the first time, don't stop going after God. Don't stop asking. Don't stop submitting your request to him because he's listening. He's not listening. Your sin is not blocking your conversation with God because of that right there, the cross. You're the righteousness of God through Christ. His blood has made you clean. So your requests are being heard. Just because you don't hear an audible voice or you don't think God's doing something, he knows. Paul didn't stop. He knew God was listening. Just because he didn't take the pain away, Paul knew he was listening. And when God spoke, it changed his life forever. My point 3, The grace of God is capable of making the ugliest parts of our lives beautiful. The thorns in your life it doesn't destroy the rose on top of your stem. And God is able to take those thorns and make the most ugliest parts of our life beautiful. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says this, "But he said to me," which is Jesus, after Paul was crying out, Jesus said, "My grace is sufficient for you." Somebody say, "My grace is sufficient." My grace is sufficient. Y'all know what grace is? Grace is the power that God gives to his children to live the life that he wants them to live. Grace is the power of God that he placed in you to fight through every obstacle that you're going to face in life and to live the life that he created you to live. And so Jesus is telling, hey, Paul, regardless of what you're facing, regardless of what's being said to you, regardless of your afflictions, my grace, my power, my strength is sufficient. It's enough for you right now in this moment so you don't have to keep complaining. Guys, you don't have to keep complaining about your life situations and circumstances right now, because Jesus is talking to you right now. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Does that even make sense? I'm weak right now. How am I strong when I'm weak? Jesus is saying it, so it must have some type of weight to it, right? So Paul then immediately has a change of heart and says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. The Message version says this: he told me, Jesus told him, my grace is enough for you. It is all you need. My strength comes into its own in your weakness. Paul then says, once I heard that, I was glad to let it happen. Now he said, once I heard Jesus tell me that, you know what? Now I'm glad I'm short. Now I'm glad I'm skinny. Now I'm glad I can't see. Now I'm glad my pants ripped. Now I'm glad I don't have $1 million in the bank. Now I'm glad I got the affliction. You know, want to know why? He says, I quit focusing on the handicap, and I began appreciating the gift of the thorn. It was a case. A case is like, man, now I can prove. Whoa. Now I can prove that Christ's strength is moving in on my weakness. Now you can prove to the world that God is real. Now you can prove to the world that Jesus came and empowered you to become victorious. Now you can prove to the world that you can live with an addiction and fight it off every day. Now you can prove to the world that you don't have to have sickness and be discouraged. Now you can prove to the world that you don't have to be depressed every day. You can prove to the world that you don't need all the money in the world to have joy in your life. Now you can prove to the world that marriage is a blessing and you don't have to get a divorce, but you can struggle through the communication issues and all the other issues that come in that fight and war against godly relationships. But if there wasn't a thorn, where would the case be? The case is in you and in your issues and your struggles with life and in the afflictions that God has allowed to be a part of your life so that he can get glory out of you and so that you can be victorious like I was on the tournament bracket. The inconvenience that Paul was originally complaining about, now he brags about. Man, how can Paul boast in this? Weaknesses, persecutions, afflictions, letdown, inadequacies. I can speak for inadequacies because I feel like I don't have any of the training that all the other preachers and pastors have. I don't have the background and the music theories and all these types of things to play amazing instruments. I just play. I wish I had, you know, had all the equipping to be able to do what I'm called to do, but it's a testimony to God's power that through me and my weaknesses and my inadequacies, God still can use me, a regular dude, to do his bidding and to do his work. How much more can he do with you when we stop beating ourselves up and complaining about how weak we are, how what we don't have and don't have, and just say, God, get glory and have my way and be powerful in my weakness. Paul was persecuted. I think they threw him off a cliff one time. Like, this dude went through all kinds of, how can he boast in all these afflictions? I believe it's because he heard Jesus tell him that it's working for your good. I'm here to tell you today that whatever's on your mind and in your heart and what you're struggling with and what God hasn't taken away or what he is allowing you to go through, that is for your good and God is empowering you and giving you power. 2 Corinthians 12:10 says, for the sake of Christ, somebody say, for the sake of Christ. I believe what Paul is saying here is, for the sake of my relationship with God, for the sake of God's reputation in my life, for the sake of all things that represent who Jesus is in my life and my testimony and everything that has brought me to the place I am right now, I'm content with my weaknesses. I'm content with the insults. I'm content with the hardships. I'm content with persecution and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. The Message version says, now I take limitations in stride and with good cheer. These limitations that cut me down to size, the abuse, the accidents, the opposition, the bad breaks in life, I just let Christ take over. Somebody in here needs to just let Christ take over, man. Stop trying to figure it out. Stop complaining. Stop trying to deal with it. Stop trying to make sense of it. Listen, it is what it is, and God allowed it for a reason. Lift your hands off of it, man, and let Christ take control. He knows already. There's strength in what we're complaining about, but our perspective has to change, and we have to have our mind renewed. Paul learned that this same Jesus that knocked him off his horse on the road to Damascus just set him on the bus and said, boy, I got to show you something today. You're going to learn today. Boy, he had to knock him off that horse, reveal himself to him, reveal with him the big picture of what his life was supposed to be, and he was radically changed right then. The same Christ, the same Jesus that turned him from a Christian killer to one of the most powerful kingdom men that ever walked the earth and established his church and just preached Christ everywhere in the world, and we're growing and learning and thriving from his teachings and his writings to this day right now. The same Jesus is the same Jesus that was with him right there when he was complaining about the thorn and was talking to him saying that all the power you have and you need is right there. The same Jesus. The same Jesus that saved you right where you were when you were in your mess and we made a mess of our lives and we felt like we were defeated and destroyed or we were struggling through things and Jesus came and said, hey, man, I got you. Come up here with me. That's the same Jesus that's with you right now when you're dealing with your thing. Everybody's different. You can look around the room. Everybody in here got something they're struggling with, and it may be different. But the same Jesus is talking to all of us today and telling you that you have all you need in me. Take your focus off the affliction and the thorn and focus on the rose. The rose is beautiful. You may have a little blood. You may have a little ache and pain. But the rose compared to the nick is way more beautiful. See, when we become Christians, we sign up for something I like to call surgery. Anybody have been through surgery before? Right? So when you go through surgery, the goal is to make you better after the surgery, right? But when you're in the surgery, there's some cutting that need to go on. There's some snipping that need to go on. Some slicing that need to go on. Sometimes there's some burning that need to go on. They go in and burn stuff off. Thank God that I've never been through surgery, but thank God you're like knocked out on drugs when they do it. You know what I mean? Like, because how would that feel if you was woke and somebody like cutting into your chest? Just right down the middle. Like, that would be crazy. Thank God for modern science and technology that God created. God created all of it to grow and help us, because we're not in the old Western movie where they got to dig in our leg with pliers. You know what I mean? With no, they're like, hey, take this shot of whiskey and put this sock in your mouth. We just going in today, bro. You know what I mean? Like, we just going in, bro. That don't feel good, but I bet it feels good after the bullet's out. I bet it feels good after the surgery and your knee's better or whatever they're operating on. But there has to be some thorns, some pricking, some uncomfortableness for the beauty of life to come out of the situation. See, the power that Jesus was talking about that was going to rest on Paul, and the Greek is called dunamis power. That's the Greek word that's used there, dunamis. It means the great power of God, his energy, his explosiveness. You know, we get our English word dynamite from this word. Dynamite does what? So you got some living right inside of you right now. Because that power comes from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that was promised to all believers. And we saw it in the book of Acts when the Holy Spirit came in this person. Jesus said, I'm not leaving you alone, but I'm sending you the helper, the comforter, the one that's going to empower you to do all the great things I want you to do. And the Holy Spirit is in every believer today. And if you're not a believer today, then by the end of this service, I know you're going to be a believer because God is in the room and he's speaking to your heart right now. But you have the Holy Spirit inside of you that is so powerful that nothing can stand against you. No weapon formed against you can prosper. Nothing can hold you back, and nothing's impossible for you. You can endure every situation, even if God doesn't heal it. That's what he's saying. Even if he doesn't take the disease away, you're still victorious. Even if he doesn't give you the check, you're still victorious. Even if you don't go to school, you're victorious. Even if you don't have all the gifts and talents, but God still asks you to do something, you're still victorious because the kaboom dynamite power of the Holy Ghost that's living inside of you empowers you to do anything. Where you can say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. This stuff, it's all connected if you listen to it. It's not just little one-off scriptures. The Bible is one seamless message saying that, dude, you're a champion because of what I did for you. Now rise up and be the king and queen that I created you to be. That same power is living in you today, man. My third point is this. And we know that for those that love God, who loves God in the house? And if you don't, it's okay. It's all right. You don't have to lie to me. You know what I mean? So you look good. But for you, because you raised your hand, God says, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. We know that all the thorns are working together for the good of the rose stem and the rose on top, because the thorns have a purpose and a plan and a reason why God made it that way. He made it to work together with the stem and the rose, and it's a complete beautiful package. And we know that every circumstance that we face in life, every affliction, every hurt, every pain, every limitation, every weakness, every struggle, every unanswered prayer, every unanswered dream, every vision that hasn't been completed yet, God says, I'm working it all together for your good. If you love me and you believe and you trust me. You see, I wouldn't enjoy peace if I never had to war. I value forgiveness. My selfish ways are undeserving. I love the feel of love because there was times I didn't have it. And there'd be nights when I'd be stressing. The devil thought he had me. I value life because my daughter died. Heaven took her out and get to see Mariah smile. I value life because I lost a child. If it wasn't for the Lord, I would have lost my mind. Can anyone relate? See, that's the struggle of this man trying to make sense of all the pain in his life. But I know I'm not alone. You see, trouble makes character, and then it makes hope. And hope will never fail when it's built in God's love. You see, I've been through enough to know that trouble don't last always. It don't last always. See, 'cause trouble don't last always. Trouble don't last always. So trouble don't last always. No, no, no. Trouble don't last always. See, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Oh, yeah. This trouble don't last always. Rainy days don't last. See, this too shall pass. Problems come and go, we all know. We just gotta press forward. See, pressure makes the most beautiful. It's diamonds, you're gonna shine, girl. Once you make it through this struggle and this trial, you'll soon realize that trouble don't last always. Trouble don't last always. See, trouble don't last always. No, no, no. Trouble don't last always. 'Cause weeping may endure for night, but joy comes in the morning. Yeah, 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 yeah. See, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. See, I didn't enjoy losing my family, my marriage, after the first year and a half of us being married and feeling like marriage was a thorn in my side because of all the marital issues we faced. Seeing my family move to Houston while I'm home, and it crushed my heart and made me just do some crazy things. But it worked together for a beautiful rose, as I'm looking at my wife and my beautiful kids in there playing in the back, and God using the hurts and pains and working it all together to teach us and to grow us and to make us the people that we are today. I didn't enjoy losing my daughter in the 7th month of the pregnancy, my second child, my first girl that was going to be born, me and my wife, having to struggle through that and her having to deliver that baby, knowing that we weren't going to be able to go home with her and enjoy her and watch her grow up. I didn't enjoy that. You know what a tremendous thorn that was in my side, and my wife's side, that God allowed to happen? But it grew us and it taught us to cut out all the foolishness in our marriage and relationship and start valuing one another and start looking at the beautiful side of life and stop making small arguments big things because life is so fragile. You see how the thorn became a rose and it helped cultivate our marriage? I didn't enjoy losing my father last August, man. He was 68 years old, man. And God just took him like that instantly. Now I don't have my daddy that I can call when the Cowboys playing or when I needed some advice or something like that. And seeing my mama have to struggle by herself now because my daddy not there. And now she's grieving and having to do this walk of life alone. Praise God that she has a relationship with the Lord. But that's a thorn, man. I ain't the only one. Y'all got some stuff too that God has allowed. But the Holy Ghost inside of me, man, and he telling me, Brock, you can't stop because I got you. You're going to get through this. You're going to learn from this. You're going to grow from this. You're going to bless other people because of this. Because of the thorns you have, the rose in you is so beautiful, Brock. And that's what he's saying to you. Because of where you are and the thorns you're facing, the rose on your life is so beautiful, man. And it goes hand in hand. What is God asking you today to stop complaining about? Stop fussing about? Stop crying about? Stop saying, Lord, I thought you was going to do this. What is God saying? Hey, take your hands off of it. Embrace it. Pastor Joe said, when Tony was sick and had the mental illness, I struggled with it for a long time, and I didn't know what to do, and I was a little angry about it. But then he said, the Holy Spirit, God told him, Joe, wrap your arms around your circumstance and embrace, because I allowed this for you, because it's making such a great man out of you. What is God allowing that's going to make such a great woman out of you, such a great man out of you, such a great child out of you, such a great victorious champion for the cause of Christ, that he's saying, take your hands off of it, of complaining and fussing and bitterness and anger, and trust that I love you, and wrap your arms around what I've allowed, and let my power be strong in your weakness. That's the call of God today through Christ. The call of God for the one who doesn't believe in Christ and maybe is standing off from Christ and hasn't received salvation today because of their sins or because of all that. God is saying, stop focusing on that and focus on my love and why I allowed you to be at this place right now. Today you can receive salvation. Today you can receive peace. Today you can receive everything you need to push through and live a victorious life. And it's available for you right now. That's my call to you right now, is to take some time and respond to what God is saying about you, your life. Not Brock. Don't respond to me. Respond to your affliction. Respond to your pain. Respond to your thorn. Respond to the love of God and the power that Jesus said you have to endure what you're facing right now. So I just want to allow some space for that. I want to allow you a couple moments that if you just need to stand, if you just need to raise your hands, if you just need to say, rededicate your life, if you need to rededicate your peace and your mind and your heart, or you need to ask for forgiveness for God, or you need to, whatever you need to do, I want to allow you some space to just say yes. To say, God, hey, I'm here and I hear you. I hear you loud and clear. And I'm with you.